Sewing Club podcast is coming at you today from Turrbal and Yuggera country. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. Hey Carly, how are you going?
Good, Gemma, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. What have you been up to? What's new?
Well, I'm feeling a bit older since the last episode.
Yeah.
That's because I had a birthday.
Oh, really? Mm. Was it a big birthday?
No. It was the one closest to a big birthday.
Okay.
It ended in a 9.
That's exciting. Did you have a good birthday?
Yes. And it happened to be on Easter Sunday, so it was filled with love and chocolate.
Wonderful. Well, my husband had his 40th birthday as well, so we had big celebrations for him, so that was lots of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually been really – we are so busy at work right now because I'm not sure if you know, but we didn't do an advent calendar or a countdown calendar last year. We just couldn't make it work. But this year we're going to do it, and we've been designing, and we are just all consumed with calendar at the moment.
So that's wait.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Calendar and sewing and just – oh, it's – it's a very, very busy time right now.
Yeah.
This time of year is just from now until the end.
It's kicking off.
Yes. Yeah. So not a lot of free pockets to sew. No. I'm only getting just the podcast stuff. So not anything extra. Yeah.
I think that's pretty similar for me too, actually. That's probably a push in itself because, you know, before the podcast I'd probably go sometimes, you know, a good few weeks without sewing, but we don't really have the chance to do that now, which is good. Because we're actually being forced to sew, which is a good thing.
Right? It is good. I love it. It's always good to have a deadline, and just dabbling more often is exactly what we needed.
I completely agree. Yeah. And we've got some great clothes to wear, which is even better.
We do. And I am very excited to review the Smultron dress because Paradise Patterns is one of my favorite pattern companies personally, because I think Paradise, we're in Paradise. We're in Brisbane. We live in Paradise. And Sana in Hawaii lives in Paradise, but they're just slightly different, but they have very similar climates. So I think that they're very wearable for our climate here in Brisbane.
They really do suit the climate here so well. Yeah, two paradises in two different places with perfect clothes to wear.
Yeah. And Sana, her origins are Swedish, which I didn't know before we chatted to her.
No, same.
And it does make a lot of sense because the names for a lot of her patterns are Swedish, and we have discovered that we've been pronouncing them all wrong.
We don't have the Swedish accent going on, do we? We need to work on that.
We do, but we're just going to continually mispronounce the name of the pattern, and we're going to say Smultron.
Smultron, which is not completely correct, but we think it's probably better we go with our pronunciation than attempt the Swedish version. But we should tell the listeners, I think,
okay,
how it should be said.
Okay. So the correct pronunciation is
Smultron.
Go on, Kylie, give it a go.
Smultron.
Very good.
Smultron.
Smultron.
Smultron. But we're just gonna keep saying Smultron because, you know, when we're looking at words, hashtags, we're often just reading things out phonetically, and then that is now its name in my mind. And Yeah,
same.
It's just the way it is. And we can't be expected to pronounce all the different things correctly. No. So don't come at us, please.
Yeah. So what is a Smultron?
Well, we found out from Sana that it's actually a teeny tiny wild strawberry that is grown all over Sweden, and it's a popular thing for children to do. They collect the little tiny strawberries and they get a little – like stick?
A wheat.
Or like a wheat, like a dried.
Dried piece. And
they thread it on.
And is it during Swedish midsummer? Is that when they do it, like as a celebration, I think?
So it's kind of like a little mini strawberry shish kebab.
Yeah, exactly like that. They do look very cute.
Very cute.
Google it if you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, they're really teeny. They're really small.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and the dress itself is also darling.
I love it. Oh, so good to wear, so comfy.
Now, don't be put off by the spaghetti straps because this dress, you can make it with any kind of strap, but typically it's got a spaghetti strap, and there's two views, one with a V and one with a straight neckline.
That's right.
And it's got a full circle skirt that's cut on the bias.
And one of the views has a tie at the back and the other just has straight elastic at the back. Probably that if you were looking for the easiest version of this, you would make the straight neckline with the elasticated back.
Yes, and the straight neckline's easier because to sew around that V is a little bit of a more technical step. It's definitely doable, but if you're a beginner, start with the straight one.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and it's a lovely flowy dress that you can make in a variety of fabrics. I made mine in a rayon.
Yeah, and I actually went to the hashtags before I picked my fabric and I loved them all. But for me, the really floaty rayon drapey fabrics, I was like, yes, I want to make mine out of that, which mine is actually a polyester, but it behaves in a very similar way to a rayon fabric.
Listening to Sana talk about her background made me really wish that I'd grown up in Sweden.
Oh, it does sound amazing. The practical opportunities that the kids obviously get in school there just sounds so good.
Yeah.
Like woodworking, sewing. She ended up at some point further down the track doing weaving as well.
I grew up sewing, and we also learned in Sweden you take sewing and woodworking. As a little kid, I enjoyed both of them. And then after high school, I went into a one-year course for pattern. I thought it was pattern making or like fashion design. And after I applied, they were like, oh, half the year is pattern making, half the year is weaving. And I was like, I don't want to do that. But once I got there, I loved it. And it gave me such a good understanding for fabrics and how they're made and how different ways of weaving affects the fabric. So it ended up being great. And then after that, I came to Hawaii, fell in love, got married, and I had that 1 year of like solid pattern making training, but I was just kind of lost. I was like 25 years old, nannying, waitressing, and I had the tiny, tiny little brand where I was sewing everything myself and just burning out on it. So I thought, what do I like best with this? Because I hate the business side. I hate marketing. I hate so many parts of it. But I was like, oh, I really like just the creation. I just love figuring it out and doing that. And I'm like, I think that's a job. And so a lot of my friends who had done the first year of patterning school back in Sweden had then gone on to more of like a trade school where you do one or two more years of intense pattern making training. So I contacted them and they said it was great. So I convinced my husband to come with me to Sweden for a year. So we did an intense year of pattern making, and it was like pattern making on the computer. So we learned Lectra software, and we learned tech packs and grading and all these things. And so it was like really, most of my classmates went like straight into work for like H&M, Zara, a few other like Swedish brands. And then I didn't want to stay in Sweden, but we were like, okay, I guess we'll move to like LA or New York where there's a fashion scene, because I didn't expect to move back to Hawaii. But I could not get the last month is an internship, and I couldn't get an internship for the life of me. So finally I got one in Hawaii, and I said, okay. So we went back, and then they gave me a job. So I was their main pattern maker for like 5 years before I started my own business.
I think my favorite part about this whole podcast, apart from like getting back into sewing, is actually just speaking with the designers.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like getting to hear about the inspiration behind patterns, where the ideas have come from, and their background is so interesting. And they're all so different and varied. And Sana's got a range of, really beautiful patterns, lots to choose from, as we've said before, very relevant to our climate here as well. We were interested to find out which were her most popular patterns.
Yeah.
Downloaded is probably the Bluma Tank. For sure. But after that, I mean, people have bought the most is the Hallon dress. I don't know why it's so popular, but it's been great.
And you're actually wearing the Hallon dress right now, aren't you, Kylie?
I am. I've made it twice in both different views. And I know through printing patterns that it was very popular when it first came out. It was just like every order had a Hallon dress in it.
Yeah.
And I've also made lots of the blomma or blomma tank, as it's actually pronounced in Sweden.
We're working on it.
Yeah. I actually just really like all of her patterns. They're up my alley of what I would like to wear.
Yeah. I just want to spin when I put my my dress on, my Smoltron dress on. I just want to twirl like a little girl.
It's very twirly. It's twirly due to the fact that it has that full circle. And if you've been sewing along and you've made a clo bias skirt, then this is basically, you know, you're building on those skills. But it's different from the clo bias skirt in that the bias isn't at, oh, it's like diagonally bias at it. It's because it's a circle, but you cut it on the bias fold. It was a little bit mind bending.
There were two ways. I think there's two ways in the layout. You can either cut it, the bias on the fold by folding the fabric, or cut it as a flat piece. Mm-hmm. I did the flat piece because I had to think quite carefully about the stripes on my fabric because I wanted to make sure I got those right. But the advantages of cutting it on the fold is it's probably easier to find the true bias, I would say.
Well, yeah, I cut it all wrong. I thought the bias was on the other angle and I cut it on the fold on the straight grain. So I ended up with a bias skirt with the bias on the side seams, which is not how it's meant to be. But luckily I had extra fabric and I managed to make it work.
You made it work. That's
and then
good.
I made a cape for my son with the little bit of circle skirt that was left over.
He would have loved that.
Yes, he did. So what I like about these patterns, and because I've sewn a couple of them, but I hadn't actually sewn the Smoltron dress yet, is that they have really good instructions and the construction methods are gearing you towards a more professional boutique kind of high-end finish. And because, as we know, there's multiple ways of sewing anything. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can make shortcuts, but in her patterns, it's about getting the best finish. And I really appreciate that. And something else I really appreciate in this pattern is that there is a step in the instructions for adding a label.
Yes. That's pretty cool. I think that should be in every single pattern, yeah. Really, don't you?
Pattern designers, take note.
Yeah. But, you know, it's things like the French seams and things like that that are in there that just gives it that elevated look. And, you know, we talked at length with her about why she used spaghetti straps and didn't want to have adjustable straps because she liked that higher end look of having a non-adjustable strap. And I think it does, you know, it does have that look, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we laughed about the fact that, you know, a celebrity on the red carpet is going to have a garment made for them. It's not going to have adjustable straps. So why can't we also view ourselves like that and make it custom, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm. There is a bit of technical skill involved in this dress, and Sanna did offer some words of wisdom in terms of what you should look out for as a beginner sewer.
I think the hardest part is the V. You just have to be so meticulous and careful when pinning it and making sure when you fold it over that you're covering your first seam and making the V like a proper pointy, nice V. That's a hard one. So I almost feel bad when people try to make the V and they're not quite intermediate yet. It can be really frustrating. So I do recommend the straighter neckline for beginners.
If you would like to make this pattern, there is a discount for you waiting at paradisepatterns.com. You can use the code Sewing Club Podcast, and this is where you'll find blogs, resources and all the patterns.
Yeah, it's really exciting because it's actually a new website that's just launched. Yep. So go check it out. Really excited for Sanna, so that's great.
Sign up for the newsletter too because you get a free pattern, the Blomma Tank, and that is a really good pattern.
That is so cool. Yeah, you should know. You've sewn a few.
Yes. So, Gemma, what version of the Smoltron dress did you make?
I made the V front with the elasticated back and I lengthened mine slightly.
I made the same view as you. I was going to make the straight neckline, but I changed my mind at the last minute. And I also did the elastic because I knew that would be more comfortable for me.
And you also added a really cool little detail at the front.
Yes, I did. I wouldn't recommend it necessarily because it did make the whole experience a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
But I did add a ruffle underneath the band because I want to wear this without a bra and I feel like I don't have a lot there. So I put a little ruffle, and that is a common thing that designers do for small busted women to add some volume where volume does not really exist.
Cool. Well, it looks really good. Looks awesome.
Thank you. It was fun to make. What fabric did you use?
I used a polyester. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, it's got the kind of drape of a like a rayon-y viscose mm-hmm. kind of fabric, and that was what I really wanted. I wanted to be able to twirl really well in this, and it was actually really good to use. It was didn't cause me too much, you know, difficulty along the way. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I used a rayon, and I was like really thinking of this as a toile, like a wearable toile, because I really want to make a plain, like a solid version, and maybe in a black or a darker color to wear at nighttime. So I didn't love the fabric that I was working with, but I chose it because it has a really nice feel, and I just thought, oh well, it's going to be a wearable toile.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it looks great. I think you could definitely wear that. I'm seeing mine as like a throw type thing. With a bikini, you know, or whatever on the beach. Just really easy just to put on. There's, as we've said before, there's no fastening. Mm-hmm. So that makes it super easy for beginners. The fitting is super easy. It's literally just the elastic length, the strap length. But at the same time, it's got some really high-end finishing inside. You know, the French seams, the really thorough instructions for finishing it off, where to put your label. It gives it that really high-end finish. So it's a great dress.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in a rush and you needed to make a version of this and it was more casual, you could cut a few corners and you could sew the band in a different way, which would save you time, and it would just give you a – it might actually help with the V section, but it's not going to give you the same overall finished look on the inside. It'll look the same on the outside. But like we said earlier, Sana is about sharing how to make things to be finished well.
And even with those high-end finishes, it was still a really quick sew. Like for me, I think, I don't know how many hours it took, but really not that many. For me, the cutting was the slowest bit because I just took my time with that because of the stripes and wanting to get it. I had to think about how it was all going to come together. But the sewing part was really quick, really quick.
The cutting is actually not too bad because there's only like four pieces.
Exactly.
There's the front, the back band, and then the straps. So in terms of how many pieces you need, there's not many.
No.
And then there's no darts. So once you've sewn the skirt, it's all really in that band. All the work is in that band.
It is.
If you're doing a V, you've got a little bit of extra work because you've got a point rather than a curve. A curve is going to be a lot easier than working with a right angle point. But, you know, definitely the instructions get you to the end with a really good result.
For me, the things that I think were the trickiest were the spaghetti straps and the V part. They're the two things that just took a little bit more thinking about. And how did you turn your spaghetti straps out to the right way? What was your...
Yeah, I used my loop turner, which is a long, skinny metal tool with a little hook on the end of it. So you thread that through, you sew it right sides together, put the tool through, hook it on, and then guide it through, pulling it inside the right way to the right way.
Yeah.
But there's a really cool trick that's part of the instructions if you didn't have that turning tool. I mean, honestly, there's so many different ways you can turn a spaghetti strap, but her method in the pattern is actually really cool. It's where you sew a little bit of cord on one end and then you pull the cord through and then you cut the cord off.
I did it the same way as you, but I'm quite intrigued to try the cord method way because it does look quite interesting. And sometimes when you're using a loop turner, just getting it going at the beginning there can be a little bit painful. So I wonder if...
What about when it falls off halfway?
Oh, gosh, I had that happen to me actually.
It pretty much happens to me every single
every time.
I always make the spaghetti. If I'm making anything spaghetti, I give it like an extra couple of inches. Because then you know you're going to cut off both ends.
Because you're going to have like attacked it with the hook of the loop turner.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of different ways. You can use like a safety pin. You can make your thread chain really long and then you can tie it onto a safety pin and thread that through and do it that way. That works pretty well.
Have you tried it?
Yeah,
and it worked well. Yeah, okay, cool.
Because I didn't have my loop turner.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. Yeah,
but yeah, loop turner I think is my preferred method.
I agree.
But if you don't have one, then, you know, there's so many awesome DIY versions.
There are, definitely other options. And I know when we spoke to Sana, she said that if you are starting out sewing, that linen is probably your best option with sewing this because it's just really stable, but it still has that lovely drape to it. So that's probably a good choice if this is your first one or you haven't sewn lots and lots. It's a good option.
Yeah, a bit more stable.
Yeah.
And if you were going to make a linen version, it's going to be something you can wear during the day and maybe dress up for nighttime. And if you choose something that's more of a slinky, swishy, rayon-y polyester or silk, that's going to be more of a nighttime thing. It really just depends what you're going to make.
Yeah. And I've seen versions as well where they put the ruffle on the bottom, which I think looks quite cool. So
yeah, there's multiple ways of lengthening the dress.
Yes, exactly.
Because it sits above the knee. I mean, it's meant to sit above the knee. For me personally, it's below my knee, but I'm going – I haven't actually hemmed mine because I want to save hemming it to use the banrol.
I'm gonna give you some banrol, Kylie. I use banrol myself and it was a really easy, straightforward way to hem it. So I'm glad I did it that way. I'm sure the other way would have worked just as well, but sometimes the pressing and turning can be a little bit painful. Might burn your fingers. But the banrol worked really well for a nice drapey fabric.
If I'm talking about my whole experience of this sewing this dress, it was actually probably like the most I love the dress. I love the pattern. It's nothing to do with the pattern, it's just me making heaps of mistakes. Basically everything went wrong.
It goes that way sometimes.
I cut it wrong. I cut the skirt wrong and then I had to just piece together bits to make a skirt. And then I decided to go rogue and add a ruffle. Why? Because the first time it's meant to be a toile. Why am I adding details? Don't know. And then I ended up, you know, doing one of the worst things you can possibly do to an almost finished garment is like snipping a thread and then snipping through the actual fabric on the front. But lucky I'd put that ruffle there because the cut was below underneath the ruffle.
Oh, lucky.
And just sort of everything went wrong. I decided, I'm like, oh, I don't want to top stitch the band. I want to understitch that. But of course, that doesn't really work because I would have had to cut the facing smaller that to work. So it's like, doesn't sit right. Anyways, I should have just done exactly what the instructions said as this first iteration and then added my flair or hacksaw things to it. Yeah, so basically it was a bit of a disaster. I've got a finished thing and it's great in the end, but it was every problem I encountered.
It came good and good for you for trying a few different things as well. Mm. Yeah, I very much just stuck to the instructions, but I'm really happy with the outcome. The only thing I did that was a bit different is I'm not a big fan of above the knee, so I just wanted it to be a bit longer. So I just, when I was cutting the pattern, just measured down from the hemline, I think about 12 centimetres is what I added because that's what I had available to me in the fabric length, width, I should say. I just sort of stuck to the instructions.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Call me boring.
I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Well, it looks fantastic. So I'm sure you had a lot of pain getting to that point, but it does look really good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I really like yours. I think that with a denim jacket would look so nice.
Yeah.
And even like sneakers, like just a casual cuffy date or something.
I think you're right. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I need you to come and dress me, Carly. Like, tell me what accessories I should be wearing with these things.
So let's talk about the V.
Yes, the V is an important thing to talk about.
Why is a V so hard?
Well, I think it's matching up the point of the V on the main dress part and that bit that runs along the top. Because that has to be absolutely spot on. Mm-hmm. How did you sew your V? Did you do it as per the instructions?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to mark your fabric. It says it in the instruction. You mark the stitching line on both journeys down to the V.
I think marking is just really the most important thing when it comes to the sewing of the V. And I would put my needle in at the point of the V and sew out and then put my needle back into the point and sew out the other side.
Okay.
and that seemed to work fairly well. The other thing is the snipping, because you need to get as close as you can, but without cutting or creating a hole.
Yes.
Because otherwise there's going to be tension on the inside of the garment.
Yeah. And then you've also got, well, look, the skirt's very easy, but then you've got the band has all these different curves. It's got points and curves. And we're specifically talking about the view with the V. The straight one is a little bit more straightforward. Yeah, you've got the curves where the dress meets the band, and then you've got the points where the straps meet. Then you've got the point where the skirt joins to the band, and then you've got the point at the top of the band. So there's so many different points and joins where you need different applications of the seam. So sometimes you need to clip to release tension. Sometimes you need to cut notches or clip notches so that you don't get bulk. Then you've got the V, which you have to clip right down to the stitches. And if you are like two threads away from the stitching and you turn it inside out, there's a little bit of puckering.
You need to.
And then if you cut too far, then there's going to be a hole.
So go carefully, I think is the advice. Something that I found really helped me that wasn't in the instructions, but this again comes down to the sort of fabric you're using, is because it was quite a drapey fabric, moved around quite a bit, I actually interfaced both pieces of my yoke, and that was much easier to get accuracy in terms of the V and, you know, all of those things that we're talking about. Because if you think about a really drapey kind of fabric, it kind of moves around a bit more. And if one of those pieces, and maybe even stretches out a bit more. So if one of those pieces isn't interfaced, then that can be harder to match up. But I would only do that with a very thin fabric. I wouldn't want to do that with, say, a linen, for example.
I agree. I did follow the instructions and I only interfaced the outer of the top band, and I didn't interface the facing. But if I'd interfaced the facing and the outer, it would have probably been a bit smoother for me. And did you interface the back band where the elastic is as well?
No, I didn't interface that at all. But the reason I chose to interface the both pieces was because when I started stay stitching, because of the type of fabric, it almost started like pulling up a little bit. And so I just thought, this fabric's going to be difficult, you know, such a small piece. It needs to be exactly the same size as the other piece. We're matching it together. It's going to make my life a lot easier if I stabilize this. And that was where I made that decision point when I started the stay stitching. I was like,
and did you block fuse it and then cut it, or did you cut the interfacing and trim it? And
that would have been sensible, but I think because I'd already cut it and then I made that decision, I then cut the interfacing separately.
Yeah, I block fused the outer because I wanted to hold it up and see what it looked like and make sure it fit before sewing and cutting out the rest of it. And, yeah, I should have done interfacing on both.
I just think sometimes if you've got a tricky fabric, interfacing just gives it more, as long as you're happy with that end result, to have more, I guess, a slightly more firmer fabric, more stable fabric. It will obviously have less drape, so think about where you're putting it. It can make those tricky fabrics easier to work with.
Did you make any alterations apart from the length?
No, literally.
Just straight.
Put it on, went, yep, it fits, woohoo, which is very unusual for me.
I took some out of the center front. That's it.
Okay, great.
I think it was just maybe a centimeter.
Yeah, excellent.
Because it just felt a little bit, when I held up that piece, it felt like the points where the straps would be were just too far out and not where they needed to be.
We should also mention the great piece of advice that Sana gave us regarding storing our dresses.
Yes, storing. Well, being that the spaghetti strap is very delicate and you're joining it to like a point which is also quite delicate and there's some weight there, while we do need to hang the garment so that we know where we're going to hem it, if there's any stretching in the bias, it's not good to store it that way, is it?
Yeah, because the straps are going to potentially stretch out, and that's, you know, you don't want to have to go back and unpick and pull the straps through or whatever. Sana also says that she's had to re-hem after, you know, a few years her dresses where they've just been hanging in the wardrobe. So even if you do hang your dress for a couple of, which make sure you do, by the way, hang your dress for a couple of days, see what the bias is going to do before you hem it. There's a very good chance you might have to end up re-hemming it further down the track because it will probably continue, depending on the fabric, probably continue to stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, and it will stretch out in the center front and the center back.
Yeah.
It won't stretch out in the side seams because they are practically on the straight grain. It's just like the center front, and it might end up being like a too much of a scooped hem that you don't really might not want for the garment.
No, or you could make a feature of it and just pretend True. That you wanted scooped hems. You
and
know?
She did also mention that because the side seams are fairly stable, if you wanted to add pockets, it's not part of the pattern, and I didn't want pockets in mine, but it's an option if pockets are a must-have for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be worth as well us touching on the fact that when I looked at the line drawing for this, I was a little bit unsure about the dress because I am someone that would always prefer to wear a bra. And I looked at the spaghetti straps and I thought, oh, and then I looked at the tie. And I think there's probably, you know, probably a few people out there that would be in the same boat. But she said, you know, there's no reason why you can't just add a thicker strap. Go for the elasticated back option, add a thicker strap. And then, you know, you can wear a bra underneath really easily.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we can look at other, I'm thinking in my mind of other patterns. There's the Ogden cami.
Yes.
You know, the Ogden cami. It's like one of the,
everyone knows.
It's a well-known yeah. pattern. The original pattern had quite thin straps. And then when the curve range was released, they put a wider strap because that was what the people were asking for, and it makes sense.
It does.
If you want to wear a bra, but you don't have to wait for the pattern designer to put out a thick strap version of a dress that you see. You can just make the strap thicker.
Make and you won't have to worry about using a loop turner then. Yeah, it's quite exactly. the same way as the spaghetti strap. So exactly. there's a bonus.
You could go, I don't know if you could go too wide with the V one,
you might have to change the point of the V there. Mm. Like you, but you know, I always think another piece of advice that I would give is that, you know, if you've never sewn a V before, get some scrap fabric. Just take that very small part of the pattern and sew it. See how it's going to go together. Don't do it straight on your main skirt piece because there's a very good chance that if you've not sewn a V neckline like that before, it's going to go wrong. Mm. So I just think if you just get an understanding of how it works, what you need to do, practicing it on some scrap first is a really good idea.
Yeah.
And same thing, you know, if you're changing the pattern to accommodate larger straps, just take that little section, you know, draft something that would fit the strap, practice it in like mini form or just that little section and see how it looks. And rather than going straight onto your main garment.
Yeah. And when talking about that V again, when you're sewing, it's important to have the side that is facing up. When you're sewing, the part that you're going to see should be the part with the most bulk, I suppose, in that area. Like sometimes you, in different scenarios, you want that bulk to be on the underside. Like if you're doing gathering, sometimes you want that on the underside. But because you've actually got to like move the fabric out of the way and then pivot and then move fabric out of the way, it's and you've got the clip. So you want to make sure you're sewing over that clip. There's just so much.
There is. And I think it's worth if you're unsure, just have a little practice, I think is the advice.
Yeah. There's a couple of tricky things that if you're not paying attention as well, like the seam allowances do change in a few places.
Good point, yes.
Because sometimes, you know, I find that, you know, it's one seam allowance and you just have that in your head and you maybe don't check the seam allowances at every step. But yes, there is a step when you're sewing the facing on where the front bodice has a half inch seam allowance and then a 3/8 on the back. And that's
right.
You'd be sewing that in one go. So you have to sort of remember when you cross over that side seam that you're actually changing the seam allowance.
And that's to accommodate the elastic, isn't it? Yeah.
Turns out that my elastic's actually a bit narrower than it is. So I probably could have just done
the
so
original.
I guess maybe find the elastic that you're going to use and work out what seam allowance works best for you.
Yeah.
I also had mishaps when I was inserting the elastic. So I had it all in and I'd pinned it all and I was happy with the feel of it. And then I left the right bit open. And then when I went to sew it, I pulled the pin out and it went.
Oh.
And then it disappeared inside the back casing and I had to sort of
yeah,
fiddle with it for a really long time to get it back to where it needed to be so I could stitch it down in place.
Yeah, okay, that's a pain. I think we should also just touch on the fact that Sana gave us that really good piece of advice about fitting with the straps.
Yes, I wish I'd known this first.
Yeah, me too, because I do wonder if maybe mine are a touch too short. Maybe I would make them a little bit longer next time.
Mine are too long.
But she basically said that when you get to that point in the pattern where it suggests that you put it on, see how long you want your straps, whilst you're doing that, just also pin the elastic from one side seam to the other side seam, because obviously that back part is all loose at that point. So mm-hmm. you're not going to get a real feel for where everything's going to sit. But if you pin the elastic, it will kind of give you an idea, a better sense of how long you want your straps to be. So yeah, if I was doing it again, I would definitely do that.
Yeah, I tried it on and I thought it was right, but then when I added the elastic, it changes it.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing happened to me. I went a little bit too short. I probably need to wear it and just see, but yeah, I'm not 100% convinced it's right.
I am not convinced I've nailed this, but it's not because of the actual design of the pattern. It's like the print and the colors and the straps being slightly not right. Like, it might be the perfect dress for someone else.
Yeah.
And I want to make myself another one.
I also think the more you sew, the more particular and perfectionist you become. You know, you want everything to be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And probably that's a personality trait as well. I don't know. But yeah, so we should be less hard on ourselves and just, yeah, you know, enjoy what we make.
Totally. I enjoyed making it for sure, even with all those problems, because it was just really fun to see it come together. But then when you're making a garment where you're not very covered up, like it's covering what it needs to cover, right? So yeah. I feel like then you're optimization of fit is more nuanced than,
yeah,
you know, a garment that has sleeves.
True.
And is covered, because you have the added difficulty of making sure that you feel comfortable and covered enough.
We should also mention that it is the perfect maternity dress.
Like, oh, yes.
Literally, it would be really good for anyone with, you know, expecting it. Perfect dress.
At least for a little while, until the yeah. skirt gets really short yeah. at the front.
Just make it extra long. I'll put a ruffle on.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot of ease in the skirt. Yes. And it's very twirlable.
And easy to wear.
Yeah.
But what which label did you use?
I used another sweary one. This might get beeped out again, but it's a green heart with I f***ing love this.
Well, I think you're allowed to use sweary ones, particularly when you end up with holes in the front, you poor thing.
Yeah, it was a journey.
Yeah.
I actually think I might, I don't, you know how sometimes you make something and you go, oh, I really love the fabric, but I don't know about the print of the thing?
Yeah, I do know.
That an option, and I'm thinking about this, is like dyeing it, like just over-dyeing it, because it's kind of like a tie-dye type of print and the colors are beautiful, but I don't know, not loving it. But if I like got a nice blue dye and sort of dyed it all a little bit more blue, it might still have some mottling and things like that, and it might just be a little bit more cohesive to going with like my normal style and other things in my wardrobe, and I might feel more confident wearing it.
Do it. I think it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
And a bit of scrap as well, just to see, I guess. Oh, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It was cheap fabric. It's meant to be a 12.
Yeah, exactly, so. Exactly.
How about you, Gemma? What label did you use?
I use Comfy because I think this is the most easy to wear dress. Like, I'm seeing myself as, say, on the beach, throwing it on over a bikini, just so comfy, easy breezy, love it.
Awesome. It's perfect use.
And the colour, the kind of blue of the label kind of went with the blue in the fabric. So I was
Colour has a lot to do with it for me as well when choosing. Yeah. Well, just I have so much to choose from.
I know. These quality labels.
Okay, what about the ratings?
Okay, let's do it. So we'll start with size inclusivity.
Once again, this pattern, I'm not the smallest size, so it goes from a 00 to a 30.
Yep.
And I made a size 4.
I made an 8.
Yeah. There's 3 sizes smaller than the size I made.
Yeah,
that's like not very often that I find patterns that have smaller.
Impressive, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a very comprehensive range.
I agree. So 4.5?
Yep.
The drafting.
I think the drafting, and I I find this with all of Paradise patterns. The drafting is spot on.
It was, yeah, it came together beautifully.
It did. It did. The design is really nice. I can't fault it at all.
No. Five then.
Yeah.
Instructions. I think we've already touched on the point that, you know, you can really get a feel for her thorough background in pattern making when you're working through it. Everything's there that you need.
Mm-hmm.
They're excellent instructions.
I think if you're new to sewing, that if you kind of went through these patterns from Sana, you would pick up new sewing techniques through just following the instructions, and that would just something new to add to your sewing toolbox and your skills. So that's a five for me.
It has to be five, agreed. Now, with difficulty, I think we're going to split this into the two views because they are quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've talked a lot about view A and that V neckline, which is more difficult, but then there's also the straight neckline, which is view B. So I think for view A, I think because of the V in the neckline, it sort of needs a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, a 3 out of 5. And, I mean, if you're choosing tricky fabric, it's going to get more and more tricky. A linen would, you know, go together really quite easy.
And for view B, it is obviously a bit more straightforward. There's a nice, you know, fairly straight neckline, 2 out of 5, I was thinking.
Yeah, and if you did the tie, it's a little bit more sewing, but I think it's probably still easier than the elastic. Yeah,
a bit more fabric, a bit more sewing, but probably a bit less fiddly.
Yeah, because it's all just straight sewing, no notions really.
So what about the price, Kylie?
Yeah, so it's around 26 with the conversion. That's in AUD. So I think we're putting that in the mid-range pricing. So,
yeah, $2 signs.
Yeah, I think it's value for money because you're getting two versions as well.
Yeah, very true. So how many Sewing Club stamps do we give it?
I would like to rate this one very highly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So we're going
to give it.
Okay, so this pattern, the Smultron dress, receives five Sewing Club stamps. Yep, we've tested it and it is very hard to find anything to mark this pattern down. It's great.
Yeah, and if you're living in a colder climate, plan yourself a nice summer holiday and sew one of these dresses.
Hi, Sally.
Hey, Sally.
How's it going?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Tell us about the next pattern.
Okay, next episode, the pattern is the Ashton top from Helen's Closet, which is very exciting.
Woohoo! Super exciting.
We love Helen's Closet patterns, and she's also another podcaster.
Yeah.
Is there a discount?
There's a discount. There's an amazing discount. It's 30% off the Ashton top. So just pop in the discount code Sewing Club Podcast at checkout to get that fab discount.
Woohoo! Wow,
so generous.
And such a wardrobe staple.
I know, such a great pattern. I'm really excited to sew it.
It was hard to choose just one of her patterns.
It was,
she has so many. But we think this is a good pattern to add to the collection.
To the collection, the capsule collection that we're building.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for listening, everyone. We would love it if you could join our Facebook group, the Sewing Club Podcast Community, where we can share our makes and tips and tricks along the way.
And we have an Instagram as well, which is sewingclub.podcast. We have feedback forms attached to that. You can see our garments in the wild. We post videos there and we love hearing all the feedback, so keep it coming.
We'd love it if you could subscribe, rate, review the podcast. All of that helps to get this podcast to as many people as possible.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you still here?
Hey guys.
Are you still listening? Well, there's a little bit more. Thanks for hanging on to the very end.
On the spot, but it's nothing for you to worry about. They're this or that question. So you literally just have to decide this or that.
Oh,
so
whichever I don't know if I can do that. But
there's no right or wrong. It's whatever. Just to sort of, you know, get the conversation flowing. So we'll start with a few. Potato chips or chocolate?
Oh, chocolate. 100%.
Overlocker or French seams?
I guess French seam.
Mm.
Maybe because I don't get along with my overlocker that well.
That's true. They can be temperamental.
Yeah.
Toile or no toile?
Oh, well, I guess, I only make my own patterns, so it ends up being about, 2 to 10 twirls before I get the fit right.
So it has to be.
Yeah.
Heels or flats?
Oh, flats. Yeah, I'm too comfortable.
I hear you. Yeah. Mm. Snorkeling or surfing?
Surfing.
Stripes or checks?
Ooh, I think stripes.
And last one, patterned or textured fabric?
I like a good texture. It adds interest.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's hard to find a good texture for home sewers, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier to find a ugly print. Most of it is not great, but
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that completely.